Father, we just give you praise. We give you honor. We submit ourselves to thy presence. And Father, we thank you for that peace that passes all understanding. And we thank you that you're greater than anything that we face, everything that we see, because all these things that we face and see are temporal. They're going to vanish. And a great, like a whim that comes upon the land, a great wind, they will vanish. But we know those who will look to you, that your glory is going to rest upon your beloved in this last hour, that you're going to make yourself real to the hearts that are made perfect toward you. And your word declares, if we cast all of our cares upon you, you will help those ones. You will work within us, and you will be mindful of our direction that we're seeking. And Father, help us this day. Lord, help us that we might arrange our lives according to the glory of God of thy Spirit. Father, where your Spirit is, there is liberty. And Father, we claim great victory. Father, that you have all knowledge, that you have all understanding, that you have all grace, that you have the goodness, the things that we need, that we operate on, that we were made to serve you. We're not made for this world without your help. We're not made to face the things that we face. We're only made to face them in you. And your presence be with us, and you're mindful of us, that we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. And Father, in that you made and created in your likeness, that you're going to put your Spirit upon us in this last days, that we might be able to come against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. We might not conform this world no longer. We might conform the image of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who's a propitiation of our sins, not of our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. Lord, we look to you this day for guidance. We look to you this day for revelation knowledge. We look to you for the presence of God. And Father, I pray that you'd take away all fear, all things that bring us down, and we might have perfect victory, that we might have perfect blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. I really don't know where God's going to send us, but I really believe that the Lord's laying on my heart something that I hadn't thought about. But you know, back in the Old Testament, we have Abraham was a mighty man of God, and how Abraham had arrived and he said he was going to go to a city that had foundations from God, and he was looking for a city that was going to come, and his citizenship was not in this world. But he has Isaac, his son, and pretty soon God tells Abraham, he says, I want you to take up your son Isaac and take him up and offer him as a sacrifice. And how Abraham doesn't even argue with God, he just goes and does it. And how he does it, and he tells Isaac, he says, God will provide, God will provide. But it took a lot of faith in God, realizing that God allows him to bring that knife down to the place that he had drawn the knife. And then the angel of the Lord says, touch not, for I have given you a sacrifice. Well, you know, that touched, I believe, the heart of God. Realized that he had created an image of a man, Abraham, that was willing to put his faith and belief in the Lord God of heaven. And he hadn't even had Jesus yet. And he had that kind of faith, that faith that wavered not. And he was willing to put his hands in the hand of God, that he knew that God would somehow, God miraculously was going to come through. And he had a supernatural faith and belief. And I believe that as he reached out in that, God told Abraham, he says, you'll be the father of many nations. And I will let you have sons and daughters as the sands of the sea. And how that Abraham, his family started, got even down to Jacob and Esau, how that we understand how God started in a way that was like a family. Soon to this family, God seen that man could not live under the law, under the penalties that came upon the law, and how they had to give this sacrifice, and the sacrifice, and it was all it was doing is carrying out what God had to, he had to give a sacrifice eventually, that those sacrifices would be covered. Understand where I'm coming from? Because those sins had to be translated through the blood of Jesus Christ. So God, in his mercy, called forth a nation, Israel, and how Israel was born, and Israel became his sovereign nation. His special seed was for Israel. And how that Israel struggled time after time with sin. Israel struggled in the times of being hot for God and then cold and then different and wayward, and how God chose very shortly. I've seen all these combinations of times that all of us see. And that's a pattern how we are. We're up and down. We're in and out in our own thing, in our own flesh. We have nothing to offer. We have nothing to seek for. We're a victim caught in a land and we don't fit. Only way we fit is relying on God, and that we have to come God's way in doing this, because in our own self, we cannot cope with the powers of darkness, cope with even people that offend us. We have a something built in us that wants to resentful. We want to speak out and come against those ones, and we don't have that love, that ability to love. Only through God's love that we can love back. But it became apparent to God that God seen that He was going to have Jesus, the Son, His only Son, and how He would give His only Son. And Jesus became that spotless sacrifice without blemish. And God sent Jesus with no basic help. The Spirit of God rested upon Jesus. He came down as we are, yet without sin. He came down and struggled many times. Jesus, I know He felt what we feel. He said He felt all of our infirmities and all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus became that spotless sacrifice. We need to bear that in our heart. He gave, God gave the best. He gave His only Son that we could live, that we could have that chance for immortality, that we could live forever and ever and ever. Because without that, we were doomed to go to a bad place, place that we don't even want to think about. It's so bad, but He made us that we might desire to live with God Himself. And this is God came to His own. The Bible said He came to His own, and His own received Him not, but too many received Him. They give power to become the sons of God. There's been a warring against the Spirit of God, a warring from the enemy. He comes to kill, destroy, and steal, but God has come that we might have more abundant life. So through in this process of Jesus, Satan has been always counteracting. Always, it's like a game of chess. I don't know anything about chess, but I know there's one player plays and then the other plays. They counteract, one goes to the other, and that's the way it's been with God and Satan. He even came to God with Job. He told God, he says, if you'll let me do what I want with Job, he says, he will curse you. God says, touch not his life. And how that God allowed Job to be tempted for a while. And we all go through these temptations. God tries us for a special reason. We're tried even with the grace of God. We're meant to arise through the powers. Well, the Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. For the weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What we got is not carnal. It's mighty through God. Pulling down strongholds, casting out imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against knowledge, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. God has given us power through the ability of the church. God has a sovereign, the church without spot or wrinkle. God has got a glorious church. God has not got has given us the spirit of fear, and God has not given us the spirit of sin. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. I really truly believe that God, He called, He says, for His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf whose heart is made perfect toward. Every time He says a blessing, it's for those that's coming out from this world. And God calls us to come out from this world, that we realize that our trust and belief is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is He that's within us, He that's in the world. And we need to have that as a positive direction here, that we're going to face tribulation, we're going to face problems. But in our hearts, we know that God before us, who can be against us? Greater is He that's within me, He that's in the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has given us a purpose to praise, that we look for the things that are seen, but we look for the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. God has given us a rest, a place, the assurance that Jesus mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. God has given us a mouth that we can speak out the glory of God, and God hears. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. God meets our need. It's not saying we're not going to have to get out here and work. The last month I've been working, running the cat and the motor grader. I've worked physically, but God says, take that as from me. We realize that God uses us. There's never no time in retirement with God. We cannot say that, well, I come to a place that I'm going to sit back and take it easy. The Bible says in the book, back in the Old Testament, says you can no longer say at ease of this. You need to take great depth every day, that we're more than conquerors through Him which loves us. That means that I've got to achieve every day. I've got to seek God every day. I have to have a purpose in my heart every day. I must realize that I'm as clay as literally, I vanish. Bible says our life is like a vapor, but it's here for a moment, and then passes away. That we have a supernatural response as we call upon God. God comes down in a supernatural way, covers us from the very crown of our heads, the very sole of our feet, that we lift up this carnal mind, this carnal flesh, that rises up And we can live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the supernatural qualities that God moves upon us. We call it the womb of the Spirit, but we must take time to pray. We must take time to seek God. We must take time to call upon Him. We must have great faith that He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. We must have faith in God. We must trust the living God. We must put our whole being that He before us, who can be against us. We have to have that desire. You might say, well, we are nothing. I know I'm nothing, but God is everything. We need that ability that we're nothing and we dissolve ourselves as nothing. I don't know why God uses me, but He is real. But I know He'll go before me. And the other day I went down starting that motor grader up and it was raining. And I said, Lord, it won't start. I went to the boss's house and I couldn't find the boss or his wife or nobody. So I thought, well, I'll just go back. And I checked the batteries. I checked everything that I thought. But God sometimes moves upon us. Mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. As I got back, the Spirit of God says, why don't you go check the gear shift lever? It's all wrong with it. Just like that. You know, when He said that, I had perfect confidence. I knew that it's what it was. And I go and shake it. Starts right up. God is real. He's never been wrong. I feel Him from the very core of my... He is that appetite that we have that nothing can take the place of my God. He is real. And then He gives you greater gifts. The other day He told me, He said, I'll give you the gift of healing. These are blessings that God bestows upon His beloved, where I'm nothing in myself, but He gives us, so I don't know why I said it, but He gives us as an appetite that we can grow in Him, that He doesn't forget you. He don't lay you on the back shelf somewhere and just do away you and you just sit back there and you struggle. No, He says, I have a special calling. I've got a special blessing for you. I've got a special place that we can rise to. We have victory in Jesus Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? We have power. We have anointing by the Spirit of God that we're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. We're persuaded neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present neither height nor depth nor any other creature. Think about that. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God. We should not ever feel about that we cannot make it. We can make it in Him. We don't make it within ourselves, but with Him we're not going to fail. The Bible says He will keep us from falling, from prevent us faultless before His presence but exceeding joy. But if I don't realize that I'm able to fall, I have to have a determination within me that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The anointing's on me now. And I get a little different when the anointing comes. But the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's pleasures in God. The Bible says, in His presence, fullness of joy, in His right hand, pleasures evermore. God wants to enable us that we might be more than conquerors through Him which loved us. And through our finite minds, we cannot understand this. But it takes more. We have to trust Him. We read the Bible not to know more than everybody else knows. We read it to bless our hearts and lives that we might be fed spiritually. We might take off when we pray. We don't pray to bring any bad ill to anybody. We bring prayer as God leads us in that prayer. He leads us in a still way. He coaxes us in a special way. He trusts within us, that we're able to carry out the words, the blessings that God wants to instill in our hearts, that we might carry forth the Word of God, that we're more than conquerors, that we pray without ceasing, that we seek God for the behalf of His people, that we would call upon His name, and we would see the blessing of God be upon us forevermore, that the righteous should not be moved. They will move in the presence of God, that we're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. But I'm going to go in farther today, and maybe you here won't agree with this, but I believe we're in very perilous times. God spoke to me this morning something. I heard three or four other pastors touch on this, that they were running little things. But I know that God is very concerned about America and very concerned where we are. And you might say there's safety in America. But sir, I don't know how much longer we have as a nation. God has got some signs, and I've read up today over and over and over. God is here not to bring you to have fear in your heart, but realize He is the reason. He is the outline. As Abraham trusted God, that we have to trust God in this day we live in. We can't trust in doctors. We can't trust in lawyers. We can't trust in no one. Our pastor, even though he's good, we got to trust the living God. He is our salvation. He is the way maker. He is the truth of life. No one comes unto the Father but God the Father, God the Son, and by God the Holy Ghost. God wants to anoint us and shelter us, protect us, that we might walk in the image
of Jesus Christ, that He would be the one we see. He would be the one that we want to please. We would not want to please. We want to please Jesus. And when we go, that we would not be content to hear vile words. We would not be content of hearing old slang and all the things that comes our way. But we'd want to be an image of God shining. If we're in a restaurant, where we are, we would shine for Jesus. We'd let the light of God shine us from the very crown of our head, the very soul of our feet, that we would not compromise. The churches have compromised with sin. And the only thing it does is bring us down to a place of low degree that we have no power with the unbeliever. We have no power. We need to hold our marks on higher ground and seek. The Bible says we look not at the things that are seen. We look for the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. God has made us a living creature that we might expose darkness. That you might be a blessing, and you might scrape the person with the wrong grain because you have the Spirit of God. But that's a blessing for them, because then you have an atonement through you that can bring forth consequences against them, that they might receive the place, that they might come under conviction. We need conviction. We need the Spirit of God. I had people tell me, you bring forth conviction. I praise God for that. I pray that it will happen more and more and more. Because if you bring forth conviction, it puts that heart that's hearing you, receives it. They need to pray. They need to seek God, because it puts a place in them. Their heart is pounding hard. They need to have that supernatural touch, that they're saved, that they're born again, they're freshly anointed from God, that they have a chance for heaven, that they have a place that is not exposed by darkness, not exposed by police, not exposed by the things of this world, but they have a place that's beyond that, granted from heaven, that God the Father, God the Son has covered a holy place. A place without vile, a place that's not no longer corruption, a place that's no longer money. All the things that we see in the name here is very temporal, that with it we receive a blessing from on high, that we're translated. And God is saying, oh church, oh church, arise, seek the Lord thy God, for I have chosen thee as a mighty people. But I say, my people do not hear. My people do not respond when I cry out to them. My people are very far from me this day. They're looking at the cares of this world. They're looking at things that they see. They're looking at things that are not lasting. They're looking at things that vanish, that pass away. But I, the Lord thy God, have chosen thee that thou must walk above reproach, my people, that thou might walk. And that blessings of my blessing be upon you, that thou would no longer walk to see the attention of others seeking thee as a mighty person, but thou would rock above as and do it where I've called thee to be. That thou might be a blessing, that thou might be favored from God from heaven, that you would lift your eyes higher, that you lift your eyes beyond the horizon, that thou would see the glimpse of heaven, and thy eyes would only be satisfying the things that I would give thee, my people, that thou would walk in my visitation. Thou would walk in my calling. For I've called my people that they might be blessed by God. God is here this day that we might transform our lives from hatred and all the ill blessings that comes against God's people. The things that bring us down, that He must translate those things of darkness from us, that we might receive that heavenly calling of light, that we might walk in heavenly places, walking the sonship, the daughtership of God the Father, God the Son, and having the ability that God is with you. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His all-seeing eye is over His people. His ears are open to their cry. And God brings conviction to the hearts of people that they might change. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost right where we are. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. God has given us this tool, that special tool, that we've got to rise to heavenly places, that our lives can be changed from glory to glory. God has said, oh church, awake. God has said, I've called me to come higher. But we've said, oh, that's fine. We know we'll sit, we'll just sit back here. And the drunkards sit back here and the people cigarettes here. I'm not against these people getting saved, but we need to realize there's a higher calling. And we must denote that God will change these ones. If we have ourselves in uniform with God, God will move mightily. He will hear our cries. He will take notice when we call upon Him. He's here to disturb us when we're walking vacated from Him. He disturbs us. We need to be disturbed. We need to be chastised when we put God out of the picture. We need to be spanked. God brings chastises, but to them that love Him. God's calling for a peculiar people, a holy people, because America, I'm going to say it right now, America, very shortly, if things don't say it, there's going to be a hydrogen bomb that's going to hit this land, and it'll be a split second, and it's all over. It's going to come. And you need to have your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's coming. There's already marksmen that's shooting for America And then you start reading the 18th chapter of Revelation, it says exactly what it says. It says in a moment, in an hour, it's all gone. Glory. And it says this, the smith, the craftsman, will be with it. And all these, it says, for those to come out from among them. And that's us. We need to be here, though we're in it. We need to realize, I don't know what it's going to be. But God, surely as I'm here today, it's going to come to pass. We need to realize that we are the glory of God. And God moves upon us. And people might laugh at us, might say, I don't think you're right. It don't make any difference how. I don't care who or anybody thinks. We need to be right with God. We need to have a vision of God. Without a vision, my people perish. We have lost our vision. We have lost righteousness that dawns in the nation. The sin is reproached to any people. Righteousness that dawns in the nation. Sin is reproached to any people. We have sin in the camp. We have sin in the land. We have filled. And that's what this vile thing in the 18th chapter, it says, the homosexuals and all these perversions has come out. It's went to all corners of the earth. And I hear today, I tell you what people are saying in the other corners. God, they say, look at America. They have thought they bring forth righteousness. And yet they bring these vile movies that bring our men down. Cause our men to do things. The unclean nation see this. And we're the ones that's bringing forth the transgressions. I hate to be so plain with people. But God has spoken to my heart. He's seeking for those who will cry out and seek Him. Those that mean business with God, God will be with you. He will not leave you. He'll not forsake you. That those that are halfway Christian are going to have it hard, says the Spirit of God. You're going to walk in unbelief. You're going to walk in corruption. You're going to walk in disturbance because you won't have that peace. That joy is going to be gone. You will walk, come to a meeting, and you'll feel the presence of God. When you get home, you'll feel terrible. You'll feel the remorse. God wants us to be a holy people, a people that can adapt ourselves, that live under His shadow. The Bible says that He will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The 91st Psalm is for His people. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee and set thee forth. He is the waymaker. He is the one that creates us a blessing that we are all times in history. We've had an easement of taking place in America. We've had a time, but I'll tell you, since New Orleans, God showed me that was going to happen. And these things are taking place very rapidly. And they're here, and many people have laughed at Brother. But Brother has seen some things that God has come into a way to speak to the hearts of His people. And God's going to furnish us with His presence. And God will send His angels round about it. We don't have to fear. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Greater is He that's within you, He that's in the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are words from heaven, and you can stand upon God's word. If you live for God, that's why you can't stand upon dirt. It's because you're away from God, and God laughs at you. In Proverbs, the first chapter, it says He will laugh at us when the calamity comes. And that's shame on us. We need to be a separated people, a holy people, dedicated to God, that we live righteously, godly, in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious presence of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, gave unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. God has gone forth a people to abstain from all appearance of evil. They will walk righteously, upright before God. And they will walk in victorious living. They will walk. The presence of God is real. He's faithful. He wants to ensure us that we have that insurance. He is coming through the clouds of glory. He said, O church, wake up. Why dost thou see the things of this world? Why dost thou look for the things of this world? God is saying, my people need to come out from this world that they might be separated people, that they might be a holy people, that they might no longer adapt themselves. The Bible says not to have pleasures of this world. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us and help us run that race with patience. That's what God has spoken in our hearts, that we must adapt ourselves where we're at and we become a living epistle before all men. That's what God's calling for, not preachers, not teachers. He's called to be living epistles directed from heaven. The glory of God fall upon us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't be ashamed. Hallelujah. We should be caring, understanding where people are at. That's what we have to learn, to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit says, do this, you pray in the Spirit, you walk in the Spirit, you go in the Spirit, and it becomes a refuge that you can walk under, that you can walk in liberty. Whereas here Spirit is, there is liberty. We need that liberty of God. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things from the Spirit of God. And I believe that a lot of the churches are natural. But the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet himself it judgeth no man. We need to have that heavenly calling from heaven that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but as long suffering, that's the word, not willing that any should perish. It says that knowing the time, now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off all the works of darkness, and let us put on the whole armor of life. God has got an armor for us. He's got a blessing upon us that we might be clothed with his presence. That greater is his loving kindness that we face than the things of this world. That we have our cares no longer. Our desires are no longer in this world. My desire is to only serve the Lord Jesus Christ. My desire is to be a witness for him. My desire is to speak his word. And I got a word this day from Samuel. I don't know where it's at. But he says he will anoint our what we say, and he will put that in our mouth. That's in Samuel. God is here to anoint his people. People said this is buku no, they don't think it's real. But I want you to know that God is real. And he has a plan for man. He has a plan for escape, that we don't have to be forced with the cares of this world, that we're ready to be translated, because he has called us that we might be different in this day, that we should look different, walk different, and walk above reproach, that we might have that heavenly calling, that we'd do no damage to no man, that we'd have the love of God upon our hearts at all times, that we might be the inspiration of the gospel of God, that we might live throughout this life as an order of him, the one has called us. I love you people. God is real. He's here to favor you, here to direct you. He's able to cope with us. We all have hang-ups, but God wants to take up those hang-ups and drop them on us and flee from our sides, that we might walk victoriously in this life that we live in, that we'd have a challenge. You know, I believe that God wants us to challenge our lives. We must choose in this day whom we will serve. And it's not just a mammy-pammy, in and out, up and down, but God wants us to be real. He wants us to realize that he has a plan for us, that he will walk in us in a very special way, in a very determinated way, that he can walk by the presence of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? And when we speak out and cry, he says, "Here, my son, I'm with you. My daughter, I'm with you. Be not afraid, for I will go with you, and I will go with you through the highest mountains, where thou goest, when thou travails." Bible says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. That's our mission. Casting out imagination. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ Jesus our Lord. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. There's a blessing. Be ye strong, Lord, and the powers might put ye on the whole armor of God. God is calling for the church of God to put on the whole armor that they might walk in liberty and from heaven, that we might walk suited up. He might give us that we, having done all to stand, standing with our feet, thinking on the gospel of peace, the horn of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. God wants us to be favored by his presence, that his all-seeing eye shall be upon us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to walk in the spirit of fear. That we don't have to walk in discouragement. And where there's confusion, there's every evil work. We don't have to be confused no longer. Where there's confusion, there is all wrong things. We should not be confused when the Spirit of God, we come against all confusion. We need to divorce it. We need to die out the cares of this world and put on the Spirit of God and righteousness, having righteous living in the presence of God. If God be for us, which he is, who can be against us? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that spared us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall not with him freely give us all things? If God is here to enable us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is thy good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a plan, and God will help us. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall seek me this day, I, the Lord thy God, shall not refuse them. But I say this day, there are so many so far from me. I say they're looking at things. They're looking in programs. They're looking in things man has put in order. And I say all these things shall vanish. But I say the things the Spirit does shall live on forever. Because my Spirit in these last days, as the computer age, they're no longer. Thou art living in a day of the old man, but thou art living in a day of much progress in this land. By that I, the Lord thy God, have brought up a plan above. It'll compete with the computers. It will compete beyond it. It's my spirit. My spirit's here to adapt itself in a large way in this last hours. And I say many have come against my spirit, but I say they're in for a real treat, because I say I'm going to move mightily upon those who will seek my face in this last days. For I have seen this day coming, and I've seen much knowledge arrive, but I have great power through my spirit, and I move mightily upon the channels of the minds of my people. I said, if any man will sell out this world and seek the Lord their God, I shall put great investments upon them, and I shall anoint them, and they shall not longer struggle no longer, but they will walk in victorious living. They will walk, because I shall take the lowly, the man and the woman of low degree, and I shall put my promise upon them, and I shall give them an insert of my blessing upon them, and they will walk higher than those who have had great authority of learning. I say learning has a way that brings you down. Learning puffeth up. And I say knowledge puffeth up. And I say these things become tools the enemy uses. One knows more than the other. But I say I'm looking for those who denote these things and come against these things and have a desire of my spirit upon them, realizing that they're just clay under the hand of the mighty God. And through that clay, I will use them mightily. And they will not answer to any other call. They will answer only to my bidding. For I shall uphold thee, my ones, and I shall encourage thee. Be not afraid, for I am at the door. And I said, the enemy, when he comes close, I shall hiss him away from thy presence. And that thou shalt seek me, I shall put my covenant around thee. And I be not delight to touch my beloved. I am here to touch my beloved in this last days. And my beloved will not have to be afraid nor fear. For I shall encourage thee, for I have a great beyond imagination. For heaven is special. For I said, my word declares, but it's written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, that things are prepared for them that love God. I say the natural man cannot even see what's before them. But I say the spiritual man, yes, I shall encourage him, and I shall bless him because his faith is little. Yes, that great little faith, I shall bless him mightily, and he shall have a great faith. And through that great faith, he will live on in the eternal ages forever and ever and ever. And I say that one, it takes so much time in himself and teaches him his own self, and he's got only himself as concerning, and he receives that blessing. He will have no portion in that day. He will miss out because he has the wrong intent in his heart. My people must realize that I look at the intent of your heart. I look at what you're thinking about. I look at what you're feeling. And those will lift up mightily my name. They not include any. They don't ask for nothing. They just want to serve their God. For those I will use mightily, and I shall increase their wealth, and I shall increase their strength. But I say those that are saying, me, 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 mine, 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 I say those will be far from me. For I'm seeking those who will seek the Lord their God. And I'm here that they will uphold them in this very special time, because thou art living in a special time. For I've given thee great arrangements in these last days. I've given thee great power. And I say before shortly thou shalt even receive greater power. And you shall see many things come to pass if thou shalt say in holy living, I shall bless thee, my church. I shall bless thee and be not afraid. For I shall keep thee though the hour cometh. For the night cometh when no man shall work. Work this day, and I shall be with thee forevermore, saith the Spirit of God. A few minutes I'll be from me. I don't remember it. I know it's good. And then if you read the preceding chapters, it talks about one third of the earth that shall be destroyed. And so, it's, you know, I don't really like to bring fear on people, but the Lord's our refuge.
Amen. Praise
and He's our strength. And He's an overpowering, ever-present help in the time of need. And we need Him.
Amen.
And we need Him so wonderfully, need Him, that we realize that we can't even cope with the situation, the things that we face, without His presence. And I believe that's what God spoke to my heart this morning so clearly, that He made us, that nothing will satisfy us, only the presence of God. And we was made to serve the Lord. And so all these other things that build up in us that we're contrary with, as time goes by, hopefully they dissolve a little bit to where we can put most of our mind and attention on the Lord. And they are, you might say, pivot points that takes us from the reality that God is very well present. And He does speak, even though people think He doesn't. He's very understanding. He knows what we're facing. And He has a plan for man, that man might escape
the corruptions and the pitfalls, and that's what he's speaking to the church right now, that the church should arise, the place that takes the power of the Spirit of God. And even though we may not even understand the Spirit of God, it comes to that place that He is the waymaker, and His ever-present help is the time of need. And there's things that's coming upon earth. It's sad, but it's not the same as it was even 50 years ago. There's things that's developing, that's bringing things to a place that, and how our nation is treating Israel is another big colossal mistake that we're doing, that when we touch Israel, and I believe that because Israel has lost their homes, that's why we have in America this day and a few months ago, that's why people lost their homes. God is moving against us in a way that we, if we don't believe in Him, we don't understand. But if we believe in Him, we understand that He has a plan for each one of us. It's a very special place. And you know, you think about America, He's given us something that's so wonderful. We haven't had a real war, out of the civil war, in this land. Almost all your other nations have come into some kind of crossfire. And I've been in war, and I know how devastating it is and how it comes in a torturous way. It brings you down to a place that you have no way of escape. We've never felt those things. We've never felt that awesomeness of we're going to have someone come in to take us out. And that's what wars do. They have a plan that Satan arrives in these wars, and we become the victims. We become the ones that he comes against. And I really believe that that's why we really need to understand that God loves us so tremendously, so wonderfully, that he doesn't want us to fear. The Bible says he has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. In my heart, I don't really like to say anything because I don't like to put people at any variances in their heart that they don't feel at ease. But I do know that I have to give a warning, and God requires of me that, and I hope I do it in the spirit of love, that God has a special home, a special place that's beyond our understanding. We can't even understand that we're made for that home. We're really not made for where we are here. We find ourselves in pulling. We're like we're pulled in two different directions. And the one that wins is the one that we follow. And that may be to a low estate, but low estates brings us down to a greater estate if we continue where that low estate pulls us to. God's seeking a special place for each one of us, and we achieve it as we seek Him, and He gives us time and place to understand that He's willing to cope with our needs. He's able to cope with our desires. He's able to help us to understand Him, and He wants us to trust in Him. That trust is a very, very basis that we receive blessings from God. And the Bible says that God rewards those who diligently seek Him. And those who will seek His face, He shall surely be found in Him. And that His ears are open to the righteous, but He's against the face of the wicked. So that gives us a great desire. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of person, which He's not. But through His Spirit and our driving that's in us, in the natural, yes, He sees us as a people that need Him. But if we don't turn to Him, then He cannot even look at our sin. He has to go to that one that's striving to walk up right before Him. And through that obedience, God moves mightily. I don't like to say what God's laid in my heart to say because some of it's... But people have laid a weight of misunderstanding upon many of God's people. They have told them that they really didn't have to do anything to have what God has for them. But it doesn't say that in the Word anywhere, and by God Himself, I know it's untrue. That we have to work. There's a growth that should take place at the time we are moved toward Him. And also, we cannot be saved unless there's a drawing of the Spirit. Conviction brings a drawing. When I'm convicted, God does it as an instrument that will put me at ease at my own heart that I need something to change that feeling. I'm to change that old, what's wrong with me, and I can call upon Him. And that's that time, and we have many places we have camouflaged that as nothing. But that is a true salvation that we realize that without God, I'm a slave to Satan. I'm a slave to bad habits. I'm a slave to the things that corrupt me. And we realize that we need the presence of God to help us. But God has spoken to me things that I can't imagine. And He's never wrong. Just like that motor grader, He wasn't wrong. And everything He tells me is never wrong. It's never, you know, if I could find one point that He was ever a little bit off, I would say, Lord, I'd question it. But I don't see nothing that He is wrong in. That gives me great belief. And He told me that day, He said, just keep on like you're going. Amen. So I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'll just keep on as long as you give me life.
I'm at that time when my life could go very fast. But I want to do His will while I'm here. But about 35 years ago, God really started showing me that His church was not where it should be. And I don't want to run churches down. But they need to realize that God wanted to upgrade. As we upgrade, like cars have been upgraded from Model Ts to where we are today. We haven't upgraded the church. We haven't upgraded the spiritual part of the church. We upgrade that man was doing it. And God's not very well pleased with men. He wanted to, it's His church. And I don't want to bring ill feelings, but God is not slacking turning His promises. God doesn't glory in no one. It's His, we glory in Him. We praise Him. In 34 Psalm, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all of my fears. What a wonderful passage. His word is just filled with wonderful passage. His word is filled with the blessings of God, that He gives us that desire that we can cope with reality, that we can cope where we are. I get tired just like any of you. I've been running a cat and a motor grader, and I've been, boy, I was really, real, really tired. The ground I was on was real, real hard, like many people get very hard. I think the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, that He will take the simple to confound the wise. And I think that's what He's seeking for. He's thinking those will just literally trust in Him. We don't have to be a lot of great high intellect or high IQ, but those will seek God. And those will simply put their trust in God. God moves mightily, and I believe that to be a fact.